Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We're broadcasting live this week from SDPB's Black Hills Bureau in downtown Rapid City. Stop by and say hello. Tomorrow on the show, we've got live music in the studio. You won't want to miss that. But first, today, we've got Gary Enright. He is the director of the 1881 Courthouse Museum in Custer. He's on the phone with us for this week's Images of the Past. Hey, Gary, welcome back.
Well, thank you so much, and I wish I were there with you.
I wish you were here with me as well, but I'll stop by the museum and say hi to you when I'm out here. How's that?
That sounds really good. Thank you.
All right. So give us an idea. Black Hills Ghost Towns, a perfect topic for today as we're out here. Where do you want to begin?
Well, I think that one of the things that will startle a lot of people is the fact that if all of the settlements and mining towns and the little villages that were started after 1874, if all of those existed today, there'd be over 500 towns in the Black Hills.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
There
were
so many of these miners that started little towns, and they built schoolhouses, and they built houses, and they built mine buildings and all that sort of thing, and they had a lot of optimism about whether or not they were going to get rich.
And because there's this many ghost towns, I take it, spoiler alert, not all of them did.
That's true. As a matter of fact, probably 99% of them didn't.
Right.
But we do have some mining towns, Custer, Deadwood, Lead, Hill City. All of those were mining towns at one time, just like the rest of the 500 that blew away somewhere.
All right, so why did towns like that survive? Do we have a sense of the difference between the ones that blew away and the ones that that remain today?
Well, I think there was enough going for the towns. Of course, Deadwood and Lead had the big gold strike in the Black Hills, and that helped those communities, and the ones that surrounded it, like Sturgis and Spearfish and some others. Custer was kind of the mother city of the Black Hills and actually supported their growth down into Hot Springs and up at Hill City and all of that. So there was some success in the minings of all of the towns that survived. Those that disappeared, for instance, the one that this program is about, is Spokane. There was, in fact, a Spokane, South Dakota.
Interesting. Not a Spokane, Washington. Is there a connection?
Well, it was a connection because they named the mine at this little town of Spokane, 12 miles east of Custer. They named it after the town in Washington State, and there was a silver mine out there in Washington State. They also called the Spokane Mine. So somebody who founded this had a connection out there and named the new town Spokane.
Interesting. So how did it get its start? And when?
Well, it actually started a couple of years after the gold was discovered in the Custer area and in Deadwood, closer to the 1880 era, and that's when this little town started. Now, it actually started out as a very successful mining operation. There was the mine produced gold, silver, lead, copper, mica, and zinc. And so they had a wide market to appeal to, and so they built houses, and they built a nice mine building that still is there, by the way, although it's tumbled down as a kind of a ghost town. And then they also built a schoolhouse, and they had miners who had families and little children. They were serious about becoming a big town in the Black Hills until about 1940, and that's when the mine ran out.
So how long is this town here then? And from the 1880s to 1940?
Yes, it actually ended in 1940. In 1927, the mine produced $150,000 worth of ore. That's multi-million dollars in today's money.
Wow.
So it did have its part of success, but it just simply didn't last beyond 1940, and they shut her down.
Mm. So what happens? The mine starts. There's less to find. It's all gone. Is that
it, and so then Yeah, the mine is still there, and some of the old buildings are still there. As a matter of fact, Spokane is kind of a favorite of the ghost town people, the people who like to go to ghost towns. And that's really one of the things that's happened here in the Black Hills, is that a lot of tourists, and particularly historians who like to go investigate and walk in the footsteps, so to speak. The ghost towns in the Black Hills are a very popular attraction.
Yeah. What do you think the appeal is? What captivates people with walking through one of those places where hope once lived but then was abandoned?
Well, that's a good way of putting it. Yeah. And in fact, that's what does happen. But there are a lot of people who simply want to follow history. They want to see something they can experience, at least be in the atmosphere of what happened there 100, 150 years ago, so to speak. And that really is what I think motivates people. And as a museum, we're supposed to have information on everything, of course.
Right.
But we do have a lot of pictures of today at the Spokane Mine. So many pictures when it was a finished town. But
really?
We have a lot of the history. We get inquiries almost weekly about some ghost town or some ranch that used to exist or some place like the Buffalo Jumps, where the Indians drove the buffalo over the cliff and then butchered the animals and all that sort of thing. We get a lot of information like that here.
And what is there now? I mean, can people go and walk through? Are there structures that you can see evidence of? How much remains?
Yes. Oh, yes. There are several cabins. The old schoolhouse is still there. It still is standing, although it is in pretty tough shape. Actually, if you're taking off from, let's say, Keystone, you'd go south. From Custer, you would go northeast, and taking the road that goes up to Keystone, and you will see some markings along the way where you would find the Spokane mining town even today. And there are some guides and some books that are very good at guiding people to the ghost towns. They're available online. All you have to do is type in ghost towns of the Black Hills, and you'll get a lot of information.
All right, so you surely must give people some safety tips and some reminders about exploring places like this.
Oh, yes. And that's one of the stalwarts of the people who do this. They're very cautious about, you know, trying to enter the old mines and walk down into them. And some of them are blocked off so that you just simply can't walk down into a vacant mine. So I think the public is pretty well protected, and the people who have an interest in this pretty much know the ropes.
And you said there aren't as many photos of Spokane, South Dakota, when it was in its heyday. Are there other Black Hills towns that are ghost towns now, where we have, you know, a better record of the structures that were there when it was thriving?
Well, there are several. I think of a few that are like northwest of Hill City, for instance, the town of Moon, and there's a lot of abandoned mines up in that part of the country, and they scatter all over. I have no idea, and I'm not even sure the best historian would have any idea of exactly how many gold mines were started and left. It's got to be in the hundreds, because there are 500 that we know of, and there are 200 that are listed in the Black Hills Ghost Towns books that show some pictures of some buildings that are still left. So somebody is interested in it, go online first, and that's the best way to start. And then most bookstores, including ours here at the museum, carry books about some of the old ghost towns.
And you've got a school group coming today. Is that what's happening at the 1881 Courthouse Museum in Custer?
Yes, I have. The Custer High School has a video production class. And they're bringing their cameras down to the museum, and they're going to walk through some programs that they want to teach the children, the kids, these are junior and senior high school kids, that are learning the video technology operations for television. So that's what we're doing this afternoon. I had a meeting with them and last week, and they're coming in, and I'm going to spend an hour or so with them walking through their museum and kind of let them practice on shooting background information on historical history.
All right, passing down the storytelling and the history to another generation. Gary Enright, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it as always.
Thank you.